Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 12th of October, 2008. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Ad is continuing our look at Joshua and he's speaking on trusting in the God of the impossible. The reading is the whole of Joshua 3 and that will be read by Richard and then Andy will start his sermon.
This morning's reading is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Which you can find in the church Bibles on page 217, page 217, or it will appear on the screen behind me. Crossing the Jordan. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is the word of the Lord.
Well done, Richard, getting all those names. Didn't he do well? Morning, everyone. I don't know if that is your prayer, more love, more power, more of you, Lord, in my life. It's certainly my prayer. It really is my prayer that I may know more of the love of God and the power of God in my life. We're in exciting times, I think, here. And just to say that, just really want to encourage you, as has been reiterated this morning, about coming this evening to hear Ian share his testimony, share his story. But also to tell you about next weekend. We've got a gentleman called Ken McGreevy who's coming for the weekend. And he will help us to know more of the love of God and more of the power of God in our lives and in our church community. He's been a minister for 38 years, was linked to the Pioneer Church, one of the leadership of the national leadership of the Pioneer Church for many years. He's an older gentleman, a very wise man, a very gracious and godly man who is passionate about Jesus and enabling the church to move into the things of the Holy Spirit. And he's been doing that for many years. And I warmly commend him to you next weekend. On Saturday morning, he's going to be meeting with the leadership team. On Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, he's going to come and he's going to do a seminar. And then we're going to have some tea and cake. And at 6 o'clock, he's going to do a second seminar workshop, Time of Ministry. And then he's going to be speaking here on Sunday morning and Sunday evening next week. I warmly commend him to you. Can I say, this is not just for the Keeneys. This is for you if you struggle with the things of the Spirit and you're a bit nervous about the things that the Spirit may be calling us to, may be doing amongst us. Can I say, if you are nervous about things and you miss this opportunity, you will miss an opportunity. This is not for the Keeneys. This is to help us as a church move on, step forward in the things that the Holy Spirit has for us. I warmly commend next weekend to you. I warmly encourage you to come along to those events if you possibly can. Pray about it. Think about it. Search your heart. Search yourself and ask yourself, is this something that you can do? Let's pray. Lord, we've come into your presence through worship, through song. We have been reminded of who you are and of what you've done. We bring ourselves to you now, Lord, and our prayer is that through these things, through your word, you would speak to us, that there may be more of your love in our lives, and that we would know more of your power at work in our lives and at work in this world, bringing each of us, every person, to bow the knee before Jesus, who is the Lord of all. So help us, Lord, as we gather around your word, even now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was told a thing of fact this morning, and I was warmly encouraged by my friend down here to ensure that everybody knows this fact, that England won 5-1 last night. Oh, you're such a blessing to me, I can't tell you. I have no idea who they played. Someone's going to... Who did they play?
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. Well, we jolly well should have won 5-1. I mean, for goodness sake. Anyway, there's a fact. I have to say, I'm... do you know, I've heard a lot of... I haven't heard it myself, but I've heard... There's been a lot of, and sorry to be critical, but I have to say it, there has been a lot of fiction preached in some of the pulpits of this town recently, that the feeding of the 5,000 was no miracle, but was actually an illustration of Jesus showing us and teaching us how to share our packed lunches with other people. I'm being serious. I actually heard it myself a number of months ago when I was sitting next to someone who said exactly that. And I've heard also recently that the parting of the Jordan, the parting of the Red Sea, was no miracle. But it was a quirk of nature. That something happened in the Jordan upstream that at that particular moment meant that the sea, the river parted, and that the people of Israel were able to cross. I've heard it with my own ears. Have you heard that? Why are some of us in the church embarrassed or apologetic about the fact that we have a God of the impossible? Why are we ashamed of the fact? Why are we embarrassed by the fact? And why do we try and explain him and some of his ways away in our human reasoning? Why do we feel we have to do this? I wonder. Absolutely, Fred. Because we don't know him, and possibly because we don't know his power in our own experience. And therefore we say, well, God isn't like that. God is like this because this is how he's dealt with me in my experience. Why do we do that? It is a denial of the scriptures. It is a denial of the omnipotence, the incredible ability for God to do that which is impossible. And actually, it's not impossible for him, it's only impossible for us. And if we try and explain him away, if we try and take from him the ability to do the impossible, then we don't need God at all. We don't need him. Because we can do everything else. We can do everything that's needed. But we have a God of the impossible. And you know, it's as if the author of the book of Joshua knew that at some point in the future there might well be people who say, well, did it really happen or was it a quirk of nature? Was there something in the river that happened at that particular moment in order to enable the people of Israel to cross the Jordan? It was as if the writer of Joshua knew that. And what did he say? He emphasizes in verse 15, the Jordan is in full flood during harvest. We know from this that this must have happened in the first harvest of the year, around springtime. And the snow on the Mount Hermon, up in the north, was melting, and the Jordan was in full flood. Why does he write that, except as if he may have understood that at some point there may be some of us that doubted God's ability? You see, God could have dried up the Jordan if it had been a little brook. No problem. But he was able to do it when it was in full flood. God is a God of the impossible. And you see, the cutting off of the Jordan here was to be a decisive moment in the history of the people of Israel. They and we have to be in no doubt. We have to know that this is not an act of nature, it is an act of God. This event was to be a sign to the people that God was with them and that God would do what he said he would do. This was a decisive moment in their history. Just to summarize, verses 10 to 13 of what we've read. This is how you will know that the living God is amongst you, and that you will certainly drive out from before you the Canaanites and da-di-da-di-da-di-da. I'm not going to attempt it. The Ark of the Covenant will go into the Jordan ahead of you, and its waters will be cut off. That is what Joshua is saying in verses 10 to 13. God will go ahead of you. He will go into the waters. The water will dry up, and you will be able to cross over on dry land. Then you will know that God is with you, and that he is able to do what he said he will do. And that very sentiment is repeated in chapter 4, verse 24. It was a decisive moment. It was important that this was not a natural thing, that this was the God of the impossible doing the impossible, so that the people knew that God was with them. Their forefathers had seen the Red Sea divide, but they had now died at this point. There was no one living who had crossed that water, crossed through the water. This was a new sign for a new generation. And as I wrote that, I thought, you know, brothers and sisters here today, we can't live on past glories. We need a new sign for a new generation that God is with us and that he is able to do what he said he will do. I've said many times before, I pray the prayer of Habakkuk. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. But Lord, renew them in our day. Renew them in our day. We cannot rest on past glories. God is living today. He is active today. The people of Israel were just about to enter a land full of worship of worthless idols carved out of stone or wood. But their God, the God of Israel, is the God of the impossible. And as if to build their faith, Joshua, I don't know if you noticed it, repeats a lovely phrase just twice in verse 11 and verse 13, as if to reiterate, as if to say to the people, brothers and sisters, don't forget who God is. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. And he repeats it again in verse 13. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord, dash, the Lord of all the earth, dash. As if to say, don't forget, the God of Israel is the Lord of all the earth. Do you remember when we looked at Rahab a few weeks ago? Rahab herself declared that in chapter 2. Yahweh, your God, is God in heaven and on the earth below. Brothers and sisters, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything belongs to him. That's why Jesus was able to stand up in a boat in the midst of a storm and be able to say to the wind and the waves, be still, be quiet. And what happened? The waves were still. And the people said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Jesus is Lord of all. God is God of heaven above and on earth below. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so when Yahweh, the God of Israel, sets his feet in the Jordan, the waters bow their knee. And the waters submit to his authority. The waters submit to his holiness. They peel back and stand in a heap so that God's people may know that the living God is amongst them and that he will do what he said he will do, even though it might seem impossible. And by the way, the people walked on dry land. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. For those of you that don't know it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, in the few lines of that hymn, the author has captured the essence of the story of the people of God from the Garden of Eden to this very day. Trust and obey. Trust. Have faith in God. Faith that he is who he says he is. He is Yahweh, Lord of all the earth. Faith that he is able to do what he says he will do. The Lord will do amazing things amongst you. Faith that he is love. Not faith that he loves. John says in John 4, God is love. His nature, as I am flesh and blood, he is love. Faith that everything he says, everything he does, is rooted in love and is a consequence of that love. Faith. Trust. Trust and obey. Faith that produces obedience of life. Obedience that flows from this faith as a river flows from a spring. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Obedience that if God says it, I will do it. We heard that from Lynn a few weeks ago on her baptism, didn't we? Even if what God is calling us to do seems nuts. Even if it seems impossible. Trust and obey. Surely one of the fundamental object lessons of Scripture is that God is the God of the impossible. What was it the angel said to Mary? Nothing is impossible for God. Friends, the feeding of the 5,000 was no object lesson in how we ought to share our packed lunch. The feeding of the 5,000 was a sign, a wonder, a miracle done by the Lord Jesus. Was it a problem? No problem. No problem to the Lord of heaven and earth. The dividing of the sea, was that a problem? No problem to the God who is God of heaven above and earth below. Breaking down the walls of Jericho, was that a problem? No problem to the God who is Lord of all. Say with me, nothing is impossible for God. Those doubts and those questions, those areas of our lives that we struggle with, one day they shall bow the knee to Jesus. For nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. It doesn't mean that God does everything, but it means there's nothing that is impossible for him to do if it is according to his will. Nothing is impossible for God. The only thing that God won't do is make us trust him and obey him. It's the only thing he won't do. That, he says, is our choice. That is up to us. Should we choose to trust and obey? But if we yield to him in trust and obedience, there will be no limit to what he can do with us or through us. Paul says, and we have this jar before us to remind us of this fact, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The words for today, two verses for us today. Would you open your Bibles, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Joshua saying to the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. Those are the verses for us this morning. What does it say? Number one, the people were told to watch. They were told, when you see the Ark of the Covenant move, they were told to watch. Are we watching the Lord? Are we listening to what the Lord is saying for us individually and for us collectively? Jesus said, didn't he, I can only do what I see my Father doing. We could say, I can only go where I see my Father going. Are we watching? Are we listening to the Lord? Secondly, the people were told when the Lord moves, to move. Brothers and sisters, are we ready to move with the Lord? The people were told to move out from your positions, to leave behind the security of their camp, to leave behind the last 40 years of wandering, to cross the Jordan and take possession of the land. Are we ready to move? You know, one of the problems of being an established church is that we can find it very difficult to break camp. We can find it very difficult to move out from that which is so familiar and so comfortable. In fact, we can easily become entrenched. You know, the worst thing for the people of God is to become entrenched, unable to move. Because God is a missionary God. God is a God who is sent and who sends. God is a God who is on the move. God is a God who seeks and saves the lost. Are we prepared to break camp, to leave old and familiar ways, to forsake everything, including this building, should the Lord call us to move out? Should the Lord call us to move into new areas of mission and witness and work? Are we prepared to forsake everything, to leave everything behind? Should God call us to move? God is a missionary God. I heard someone this week, they said, you know, we often talk about that each of us has a God-shaped hole in our lives. And we won't find our rest until God is in our heart and in our lives. And this guy said, but you know, God has a U-shaped hole in his life. And he is restless. He is on the move and will not rest until everyone at least has an opportunity, until that U-shaped hole in him is filled. That includes everybody beyond these walls. God is restless. God is a missionary God. He's on the move. Will we move? Will we be ready to move? Should he call us to decamp and move somewhere else? Thirdly, the people of Israel were commanded to follow. Move out from your positions and follow the Ark of the Covenant. Following is so important, isn't it? Following is so important. We mustn't run ahead. We mustn't fall behind. We are to keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts on the Lord and follow him wherever he leads. We are to be obedient in this day to the word of the Spirit and the Spirit of the word. We are to listen and to follow. You'll know Joshua 1 verse 7 and 8 very well. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from the left or the right, that you may be successful where you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Trust and obey. Thankfully, God goes before us, because verse 4 tells us, as Joshua said, you will know which way to go because you've never been this way before. Now that is a wonderful verse for us. We've never been this way before. And I believe these verses are for us. They're for you, they're for me, they're for us here at NBC. The Lord is on the move. And he is leading us into new things. Will we trust and obey? Will we move from our current campsite? Will we follow him to unfamiliar places? I want to mention the Hope Centre. The ministry amongst the homeless and those who are bound by addictions is new territory for us at NBC. But there is no doubt that the Lord led us there. There is no doubt that the Lord is blessing that work. But I am believing that it is only just the beginning. It is only as we are just dipping our toes across to walk across the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan are only just beginning to peel back and stand in a heap. And friends, I believe the Lord is leading us into other new territories too. We're just this week beginning the process of looking at profiles for another minister to come and work alongside us here, to have a particular focus on the mission and ministry to young people, children and families, and to develop that work. That's going to be new territory for us. The things of the Spirit. It's going to be new territory for NBC. And we may be looking across the Jordan thinking, the giants are there. I'm not sure. I'm a bit frightened. But the Lord is leading us into new things. The use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. These are new things. And Jen Rees-Larkham and Ken McGreevy will both help us in that process. Don't get left behind. Mission abroad. As we looked at last week, our link with Uganda. I have no idea what's going to happen there, but already I've had five people who are interested in going to Uganda possibly next year. I don't know where that's going, but it's new territory. It's exciting. Where is the Lord leading? What is he saying? But what next? Is God calling us to a significant presence in the town centre? Is God calling us to establish a permanent mission base to children and young people in the towns and schools? Is God calling us to a mission to families? The fabric of society which is breaking down, is God calling us to reclaim family life for himself? Is God calling us to a ministry and mission amongst older folks? A ministry and mission to the elderly? Is God calling us to break down strongholds here in Minehead? Freemasonry, witchcraft, the occult. These are strongholds in these areas, and I know my friend, my brother, the Vicar of Exford, is very aware of all these things. And these are things. Is the Lord calling us to take the land, to move forward, to reclaim the land for him? Friends, I don't know how the people of Israel felt as they, that day, prepared to cross the Jordan. They may have felt faint-hearted. But will we look at these things that the Lord might be calling us to? And will we become faint-hearted? Or will we trust that nothing is impossible with God? And will we obey, believing that he will do it? The Lord is Lord of all the earth. The Lord is on the move. Move out and follow. For we've not been this way before. Tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things amongst us. Trust and obey. For there is no other way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you know the plans that you have for us. Plans for a hope and a future. Plans not to break down, but to build up and to prosper. Thank you that that's true for us individually, but it's true for us collectively too. Lord, help us to listen and to watch, to hear where your heart is, to see where you are leading us. Help us to be prepared to decamp, to break out of that which is comfortable in order to follow you into the lands that you are bringing, that you're calling us to. Help us to follow. For Lord, we do not know the way, for we've not been here before. But we trust you. And we want to obey you. So take us each one and together for your glory's sake. Amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment about today's sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And of course, you can always email me on podcast@minehead-baptist.com. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.